32. That night, after supper was eaten, Eddie took the gunslinger's knife from his belt and began to carve. The knife was amazingly sharp and seemed never to lose its edge. Eddie worked slowly and carefully in the firelight, turning the chunk of ash this way and that in his hands, watching the curls of fine-grained wood rise ahead of his long, sure strokes. Susanna lay down, laced her hands behind her head, and looked up at the stars wheeling slowly across the black sky. At the edge of the campsite, Roland stood beyond the glow of the fire and listened as the voices of madness rose once more in his aching, confused mind. There was a boy. There was no boy. Was. Wasn't. Was. He closed his eyes, cupped his aching forehead in one cold hand, and wondered how long it would be until he simply snapped like an overwound bowstring. "Oh, Jake," he thought, "where are you? Where are you?" And above the three of them, Old Star and Old Mother rose into their appointed places and stared at each other across the starry ruins of their ancient broken marriage. Two. Key and Rose. 1. For 3 weeks, John Jake Chambers fought bravely against the madness rising inside him. During that time, he felt like the last man aboard a foundering ocean liner, working the bilge pumps for dear life, trying to keep the ship afloat until the storm ended, the skies cleared, and help could arrive. Help from somewhere. Help from anywhere. On May 31st, 1977, 4 days before school ended for the summer, he finally faced up to the fact that no help was going to come. It was time to give up, time to let the storm carry him away. The straw that broke the camel's back was his final essay in English comp. John Chambers, who was Jake to the three or four boys who were almost his friends, if his father had known this little factoid, he undoubtedly would have hit the roof, was finishing his first year at the Piper School. Although he was 11 and in the sixth grade, he was small for his age, and people meeting him for the first time often thought he was much younger. In fact, he had sometimes been mistaken for a girl until a year or so ago, when he had made such a fuss about having his hair cut short that his mother had finally relented and allowed it. With his father, of course, there had been no problem about the haircut. His father had just grinned his hard, stainless steel grin and said, "The kid wants to look like a Marine, Laurie. Good for him." To his father, he was never Jake and rarely John. To his father, he was usually just the kid. The Piper School, his father had explained to him the summer before, the bicentennial summer that had been, all bunting and flags and New York Harbor filled with tall ships, was, quite simply, the best damned school in the country for a boy your age. The fact that Jake had been accepted there had nothing to do with money, Elmer Chambers explained, almost insisted. He had been savagely proud of this fact, although even at 10, Jake had suspected it might not be a true fact, that it might really be a bunch of bullshit his father had turned into a fact so he could casually drop it into the conversation at lunch or over cocktails. "My kid? Oh, he's going to Piper. Best damn school in the country for a boy his age. Money won't buy you into that school, you know. For Piper, it's brains or nothing."